Next case is 07-2106 and 0030, Danielle Moore versus Lorraine Metropolitan Housing Authority. Mr. Mason.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I am Daniel Mason, attorney for defendant appellant Lorraine Metropolitan Housing Authority. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. The key question in this case is the operation of a public housing authority a governmental or proprietary function? That's the certified question. The analysis of this should lead this court to find that the operation of a public housing authority is a governmental function, and we should start with the legislative scheme itself. At 2744, some of the functions are defined as governmental and some are expressly defined as proprietary. And for those activities not expressly defined, the legislature has a statutory scheme that the court is supposed to follow to determine if it's a governmental or a proprietary function. The determination of whether it's a governmental or proprietary function, of course, leads us down to the second tier, the second path of determination of whether there's immunity or not. In the definitional section, 2744.01c1, it defines governmental activity as any activity that's specified in C2 or any of the following three activities, and there's A, B, and C, and the housing authority to establish that it is a governmental function needs only to meet one of the three tests. I would submit that they meet all three. The first one is that it's a C1A, 2744.01c1A, it's a function imposed upon the state as an obligation of sovereignty, and it's performed by a political subdivision voluntarily or pursuant to a legislative requirement. B is a function that is, quote, for the common good of all the citizens of the state. And C is a third choice, a function that promotes or preserves the public peace, health, safety, or welfare, and it involves activities that are not engaged in or not customarily engaged in by non-governmental persons. We would submit to the court that the ownership and operation of a public housing facility is a governmental function under all three of those tests. But looking at the first one, is it an obligation of sovereignty to own and operate a public housing facility like the one here? The legislature has used a term that's actually relatively well defined in our jurisprudence, the quote, obligation of sovereignty. That they've obviously drawn that from this court's cases in the past, because if it's a obligation of sovereignty in the past, it's been a governmental function that was found to be immune. This court in Greene County Agricultural Society versus Liming, citing the 1927 case Worcester versus Arbenz, describe obligations of sovereignty as, for example, protection from crime or fires or contagion or preserving the peace and health of citizens and protecting their property. Those are the obligations of the sovereign. The role of the Metropolitan Housing Authority is defined in its enacting statute very similarly. It's at RC 3735.31 to correct unsanitary, unsafe inhabited housing accommodations and to correct a shortage of safe and sanitary housing accommodations. Very similar to the obligations of sovereign in terms of protecting the health and against crime. The authorities agree that eliminating unsanitary and unsafe slums does eliminate contagion, and providing homeless people with safe and sanitary housing protects against crime and preserves the peace. Therefore, when a housing authority is engaging in operating a public facility. It has the effect fulfilling the obligation of the sovereign to protect against crime and to preserve the public health. The amicus at page 5 of its brief cites the appellate decision of Blakemore versus Cincinnati MHA from 1943, where the court held that clearing some slums and keeping them clear by instituting low-rent public housing was beneficial to the health, morals, and welfare of the public. Doing these things is an obligation of sovereignty, and whether it's done voluntarily or by legislative requirement, it's a governmental function, therefore, under 274401C1A. And I would also ask you to recognize that the Ohio Constitution recognizes it as a public duty on the state and on its political subdivisions to under Article 8, Section 14, and under Section 16, to provide housing for those who cannot afford it, for the elderly, and that is the goal. That is the reason for being of a Metropolitan Housing Authority.
Does 274401Q apply here?
The amicus certainly made a very good argument that it does. The Q, of course, is does the housing authority engage in urban renewal and the clearing of slums? It certainly, that's one of the discretionary actions that it has under its enabling statute. It can create a police force. It can build and operate low-income housing. It can clear slums. The Blakemore case indicated that clearing the slum and then putting in a housing authority or a facility, managing it and operating it, makes sure that the slum doesn't come back, and therefore it's close adjunct to the same thing as clearing a slum. So quite arguably, that's what the legislative intent was. If the legislature was aware of this holding in Blakemore, it would have said that's what we meant by clearing a slum. Keeping it cleared by having a housing facility there would mean that would fall under the Q definition. Even if we say that C1A doesn't make it a governmental function, C1B indicates it is a function if it is for the, quote, common good of all the citizens of the state. Pelley's position is that the 114,000 citizens in Ohio that live in MHA-owned housing units, the MHAs only benefit them. But I believe that's a false assertion, that it is still for the common good, because any governmental program generally just benefits those who are participating in it, whether it's Medicaid or food stamps or any program, for example, building of local roads. It benefits those who use those programs, but it's for the common good. And the phrase common good of all citizens is a historical term, and probably, again, the legislature is referencing this court's decision in Worcester versus Arbenz, in the cases that have cited Worcester versus Arbenz, in 1927, where the court stated, another familiar test is whether the act is for the common good of all the people of the state or whether it relates to a special corporate benefit or profit. In the former class may be mentioned police, fire, and health departments, and the latter class, utilities supply water, light, and public markets. So if it's for the common good, then there's immunity, or excuse me, there has historically been immunity. In this case, it would be a governmental function, defined as a governmental function. The Supreme Court in State Ex Rel Warren versus Nussbaum, when addressing the very same argument that appellees make, that it only benefits a few people to have housing facilities, indicated that, and I won't cite the entire quote, although it really hits to the heart of the matter, but areas of substandard housing conditions can be localized, and the effect of such a condition found by the legislature to be detrimental to the public welfare transcends the city, the village, the town, or the county lines. The byproducts of substandard housing are not confined to the area that breeds them, but permeates throughout the state. The General Assembly, and through the Director of Development, has helped set up the system of MHAs. There's 74 across the state of Ohio. If they weren't there, the substandard housing and the would result in more homelessness, which could result in contagion, and of course, crime. The housing authorities mostly were started developing in the Great Depression, when there was a lot of shanty towns, a lack of housing, crime was on the increase. And the concept is, if we put people who otherwise would be on the streets into houses, there's a greater likelihood of, less likelihood of crime, and that's good for everybody. So I would submit to you, it's a governmental function under the definition of common good. The third test, we also believe it is met. I only have a minute and a half left.
Yeah, let me take you to that minute and a half. You've got a little more than that, but let's assume that the Metropolitan Housing Authority represents a governmental function. Give me your strongest argument on why the Landlord-Tenant Act would not apply here.
If it's a governmental function, the Landlord-Tenant Act would not apply to create civil liability in this case, because if it's a governmental function, it has to fall, of course, under one of the five exceptions then, otherwise there's immunity. If it's a governmental function, it wouldn't fall under B2, which is proprietary. It's not a nuisance under B3. B4, a question is this like an office building or courthouse? Addressing your point, the B5 exception. The B5 exception only applies if there's another statute that expressly says a political subdivision has a duty and that civil liability will be imposed upon it if it does violates that duty. In fact, B5, the General Assembly cites two statutes, and both of those expressly reference civil political subdivisions, expressly reference their duty, and expressly say that they will be civilly liable if they fail in that duty. Landlord-Tenant Act does not mention civil liability being imposed on anybody, and certainly doesn't mention political subdivisions. So that's how I would address that. And I would also cite this court's decision in Butler, where the court said express means express. And, I see I'm out of time. I've reserved four minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Mr. Salzgaber.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court, my name is Attorney Joseph F. Salzgaber, and I represent appellee Daniel Moore in this case. On behalf of appellee, we respectfully disagree with the arguments presented here today by appellee's counsel. The issue in this case is whether any of the five exceptions under RC 2744.02b to the general rule of political subdivision liability immunity is applicable. Appellee submits that two of the exceptions are applicable in this case, specifically the B2 exception under 2744.02, where the political subdivision is engaged in a proprietary function, B5, where civil liability is imposed by statute. In this case, we're arguing that it's imposed on landlords, which in effect the MHA is functioning as a landlord when it chooses to own and operate a public housing facility for lease to private tenants. In the alternative, if B2 is not found to be applicable and this court somehow determines that this is a governmental function, then the B4 exception would apply, because we're talking about a building that was used in connection with the performance of a government function. Getting to the main issue, the certified conflict question of whether the operation and ownership of a public housing authority, rental units, is a proprietary or government function. Most of the cases cited as being in conflict with the decision below by the Ninth District, they don't engage in the statutory analysis. And the only case in which the statutory analysis is engaged in, the Jones case, the dissenter agrees with the position of the Ninth District Court in our case. If you look and go through the statutory analysis, I think it becomes clear that we are talking about a proprietary function. And I think that the appellant and the amicus briefs missed the point in that a political subdivision can engage in multiple functions. Clearly, a city can engage in police powers, emergency powers, yet also blow off fireworks, which has been deemed to be a proprietary function, own a metro hospital, which is a proprietary function, maintain sewers, which is a proprietary function. So these entities can engage in both proprietary functions as well as the core government functions. And that...
Mr. Salzberg, the cases that you're referring to, were they before 1990 when Article 8, Section 16 was adopted that talks about the subdivision providing for individual housing? Because I know that we talked about the three alternate ways that we have a governmental function. Only one of the three is necessary, one of them being that it is an obligation of the government or the subdivision. And Article 8, Section 16 specifically in 1990 said that is an obligation. So the question is, the cases that you were referring to, were those before the Constitution was amended?
No, the conflict cases in this case, Your Honor, that got us up here on the conflict question were all cases in the 90s.
Okay.
And thereafter. And it was simply assumed without really engaging in much analysis by those courts of appeals, specifically the 7th and the 8th, that this is a governmental function, that the ownership and operation of a public housing authority is just that. The facts in some of those cases were in a posit in that they were talking about police functions as opposed to the ownership and operation of a public housing authority. If you look and go through the analysis under Revised Code Section 274401C and G, I respectfully disagree with the conclusion of the appellant that the ownership and operation of a public housing facility for rent to private tenants, low-income tenants, is an obligation of sovereignty. Looking at the cases of this court that are cited in the briefs, it's clear that the ownership and operation of units for lease, of real property for lease, is not a core function of government. It's not an obligation of sovereignty, such as police powers and public health would be. So the C1A branch is not applicable. The CB branch, a function that is for the common good of all citizens of the state, I would submit that a public housing authority in the city of Oberlin is limited to the people that live within the jurisdiction of the LMHA, Lorain Metro Housing Authority, and is only available to those who meet certain income requirements, is not for the common good of all citizens of the state. We're talking about a very narrow class of people living in a certain area of the state. With regard to the C1C section, a function that promotes or preserves public peace, health, safety, and welfare, and involves activities not engaged in or customarily engaged in by non-governmental persons, well, low-income rental housing is something that is offered by private landlords. I mean, and anyone who has attended college and lived off campus knows that there is low-income housing available to poor students and to other people. And as cited in the brief, there's a case out of the 11th District, LRL Properties, in which that illustrates that circumstance, in which a large-scale low housing project is owned by private landlord, and the Portage Metro Housing Authority in that case merely facilitates the provision of rent subsidies. And just going over it again, I think it clearly demonstrates, the statutes clearly demonstrate, which create LMHA and other metro housing authorities, that their acquisition, ownership, operation of public housing authorities is not a mandatory function. The government of the state of Ohio does not mandate that these political subdivisions acquire, own, and operate these facilities. It just says that they may do so. And that's Revised Code Section 373531. It's a wholly voluntary act on the part of the Metro Housing Authority to own and operate these pagoda units.
Mr. Salzberg, if we determine, because of the constitutional section I quoted and the language stating that it is a governmental function. Let's assume that that's what we decide. Would you get to the discussion on the exemption under 5? What is precisely, what do you think is the express statement of liability that would take it out of the protection?
Well, LMHA is functioning as a landlord, and although it doesn't specifically state within the landlord-tenant statutes that the political subdivision is expressly liable, it does state that landlords are liable. And by functioning as a landlord, under certain circumstances where the landlord has provided notice of a defective condition and is at fault in failing to remedy that, or in this case, in causing the problem by removing a smoke detector 2 days before the fire actually took place, that liability is to be imposed on them as a landlord under the Ohio statutes and Ohio Administrative Code. So it's our argument that because they are functioning, in effect, as a landlord to low-income persons such as my client, Danielle Moore, that they have a duty and obligation under those statutes. And therefore, the B-5 section applies because the liability is imposed on landlords. And I think...
So you're saying that because a liability is placed on a landlord, that is the same as saying liability is expressly imposed upon the political subdivision.
That is correct, Your Honor. The housing projects, the definitional sections of the Landlord-Tenant Act do not specifically exclude metropolitan housing authorities and their public housing facilities from application of the Landlord-Tenant statute and related statutes. I think it's even clearer
Let me pursue that a little further. The 5 is an exception to immunity, so why wouldn't we assume that the General Assembly would want those words to be applied strictly as they're written, is expressly imposed upon the political subdivision, to be certain that there is no immunity?
Well, I'm aware of this court's recent decision in O'Toole that took that position. However, this by imposing liability on landlords, I think that perhaps the General Assembly didn't obviously expect something like this case to come up, because the ownership and operation of a public housing facility is not a mandated act of the legislature imposed upon metropolitan housing authorities. However, they have recognized that there are certain obligations and duties that are to be imposed on landlords, and by voluntarily choosing to function as a landlord, it is Appellee's position that the B-5 exception should apply in this case, where LMHA has taken on that obligation as a landlord, which it is not required to take on. With respect to the third proposition of law, for some reason, appellants and the amici take the position that only office buildings and courthouses are somehow covered by the B-4 exception, and they ignore the exact statutory language, including but not limited to office buildings and courthouses. This court has previously held on a number of occasions that the including but not limited to language is open-ended. That indicates that the following examples are not restrictive but rather expansive. So we would argue that if as Justice Lanzinger indicated, this court were to find that the ownership and operation of a public housing facility, is in fact a governmental function, that negligence of an employee of the political subdivision in removing a fire detector from this building, the pagoda unit of Danielle Moore, which was, according at least to appellant, a governmental function, the ownership of that building, then the B-4 exception would apply.
Is the fire alarm system, I assume it was one of those portable ones that you can detach easily, or do you know?
Yes, it's required.
Built into the system. Is that a physical defect? Statute requires.
I would argue that a physical defect within or on the grounds that is, because it is mandated to be there, that the fact that is removed by the employees of the subdivision, LMHA, creates a defect at the Pagoda unit that was owned by Danielle Moore. Now, this is a bit of a fluke of a case. You remove the fire alarm, and 2 days later, the place goes up in flames. I realize that, but that doesn't change the analysis with respect to the B4 exception, that there was a defect in this building, and it was used in the performance of a government function if the court decides that this is a government function. And ergo, the court, the Ninth District Court of Appeals, correctly concludes that summary judgment should not have been granted in this case. I would just like to briefly reply to the amicus argument. The CMHA makes what I consider to be primarily public policy arguments concerning the desirability of immunity for metropolitan housing authorities, which functions as landlords. However, I would take the position that such arguments are more appropriately made to the General Assembly. And of course, the General Assembly could have easily clarified in the statute, in the laundry list of government functions under the definitional provision, that this is in fact a governmental function, yet it chose not to do so. The Q section, which Justice Moyer indicated, talks about slum clearance. That is obviously one of the functions of a Metropolitan Housing Authority. However, this other function of possibly acquiring and owning public housing facilities is not so listed. We would ask on behalf of the appellee that the court affirm the decision of the Ninth District below, either finding that the ownership and operation of a public housing facility by a Metropolitan Housing Authority is a proprietary function. If it chooses otherwise to rule that this is a governmental function, then the B5 and B4 exceptions to political subdivision immunity are obviously applicable. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Salzgaber. Mr. Mason, you saved 4 minutes of your time.
Justice.
Mr. Mason, why wouldn't removal of the smoke detector, assuming that's correct, why would that not fall within the exception to immunity under B4?
It has not been argued that it's not a defect in the premises. But to answer that question, is that the question? Is this a defect in the premises, not having a smoke alarm?
So you're saying that it was not raised below?
Whether this was or was not a quote defect in the premises was never raised below. Whether not having a smoke alarm, which violates the landlord's duty, is not a defect in premises. That was not raised below. Further addressing the earlier question you had, none of the cases raised by appellees.
Counsel, let me stop you at that. Does that mean it's beyond our power to determine the proper application of the statute?
Is there enough of a record for you to say that not having a smoke detector is not a defect in the premises, so B4 doesn't apply in any event? Now, I've seen the court make such a determination if it felt it had an ample record to do so. I believe that's certainly within your authority. The B4 is before you. We've raised B4 in other capacities.
This is still on a motion, was on a motion for summary judgment, though.
Yes,
there's
it was.
A question. I mean, the idea that if we assume that this is a governmental function, we look to see if there are any exemptions to immunity. If it appears that there's a question on the record or within the evidence that there may be a defect in the premises, would you not agree that the immunity would not apply under B4?
Yeah, if there's no defect in the premises, I guess it was not raised below. If there's no defect in the premises, then the B4 exception does not apply. And if this court says taking a smoke detector out and not replacing it promptly is not a defect in the premises, not having that smoke detector, then the B4 does not apply. And you don't have to determine whether a housing unit is like an office building or a courthouse. You don't have to get into that that determination.
Counsel, so that I can understand what you just said, let's take all the negatives out of it. If this court determined that the absence of a smoke detector required by the statute is a defect in the premises, then B4 does apply. Is that what you're saying?
No. What I'm saying is then we go on to the analysis that was done at the trial court level, at the appellate court level, and that is this premises similar to an office building or a courthouse where liability can apply for defects in the premises, or is it not? And the trial court found that, and the appellate court did not address it at all, but the trial court found that this was not like an office building or a courthouse because the public doesn't come here. The public, it's not, the applicable subdivision doesn't have day-to-day control of this like they do in office building or courthouse. Governmental activities like office buildings and courthouses doesn't go on every day in these places. So the trial court determined this is not like an office building or a courthouse. And the General Assembly put those words in there as to give some guidance to the courts as to...
It sort of seems like you're trying to have it both ways. This isn't a governmental building. This isn't a governmental function, but it is a governmental function.
Your Honor, the operation of a public housing authority is a governmental function. What the housing authority does is a governmental function. And some of its buildings are like office buildings and courthouses. Some of them are not like office buildings and courthouses. The public place where they don't have the day-to-day control, where they don't maintain the premises on a day-to-day basis because they have a non-possessory interest, that's not like an office building or a courthouse where the government controls. So that's why you can determine it's a governmental function, but the B4 doesn't apply because this is not like an office building or a courthouse. Whether we determine whether governmental functions are going on in this private residence or not, we still can say, they'll say whether it's governmental function going on there or not, it's not like an office building or a courthouse governmental functions. So that's how we reconcile those two. That's how the B4 exception is limited. It would also be limited if this court said, well, taking out a smoke detector is not a defect, and therefore we don't even need to apply B4 and make the determination whether a rental unit is or is not. Have I passed my time? Time's up.
Yeah.
Thank all of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mason. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.